Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 12, Text 8. Ekastvameva sadasadvayamadvayam cha. Swarnam krita kritam ivehanabastubeda. Agyanatastvai janar vihito vikalpo. Yasmad guna vyatikaro nirupadikasya. Ekastvameva sadasadvayam advayam cha. Swarnam krita kritam ivehanavastubeda. Agyanatastvai janar vihito vikalpo. Yasmad guna vyatikaro nirupadikasya. Ekastvadeva sadasadvayam advayam cha. Swarnam krita kritam ivehanavastubeda. Agyanatastvai janar vihito vikalpo. Yasmad guna vyatikaro nirupadikasya. Vaishnavis? Eka, the only one. Tvam, your lordship. Eva, indeed. Sat, which is existing, as the effect. Asat, which is non-existent, as the cause. Dvayam, both of them. Advayam, without duality. Cha, en. Swarnam, gold. Krita, manufactured into different forms. Akritam, the original source of gold, the gold mine. Iva, like. Iha, in this world. Na, not. Vastubeda, difference in the substance. Agyanata, only because of ignorance. Twai, unto you. Janai, by the general mass of people. Vihita, it should be done. Vikalpa, differentiation. Yasmat, because of. Guna vyatikara, free from the differences created by the material modes of nature. Nirupadikasya, without any material designation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, your lordship alone is the cause and effect. Therefore, although you appear to be two, you are the absolute one. As there is no difference between the gold of a golden ornament and the gold in a mine, there is no difference between cause and effect. Both of them are the same. Only because of ignorance do people concoct differences and dualities. You are free from material contamination, and since the entire cosmos is caused by you and cannot exist without you, it is an effect of your transcendental qualities. Thus, the conception that Brahman is true and the world false cannot be maintained. Purport. So this is a long purport. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the living entities are representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's marginal potency, whereas the various bodies accepted by the living entities are products of the material energy. Thus, the body is considered material and the soul is considered spiritual. The origin of them both, however, is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord explains in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 4 and 5, Bhumerapanalo vayu kammano buddhadeva cha ahankara iti ame bina prakritir astada apariyamitas tvanyam prakritim vidime pranam jivabhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight comprise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. End quote. Thus, both matter and the living entities are manifestations of energy of the Supreme Lord. Since the energy and the energetic are not different, and since the material and marginal energies are both energies of the Supreme Energetic, the Supreme Lord, ultimately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is everything. In this regard, the example may be given of gold that has not been molded and gold that has been molded into various ornaments. A gold earring and the gold in a mine are different only as cause and effect. Otherwise, they are the same. The Vedanta Sutra describes that Brahman is the cause of everything. Janmad Ashyayutaha. Everything is born of the Supreme Brahman, from which everything emanates as different energies. None of these energies, therefore, should be considered false. The Mayavadi's differentiation between Brahman and Maya is only due to ignorance. Srimad Viragava Acharya, in his Bhagavat Chandra Chandrika, describes the Vaishnava philosophy as follows. The cosmic manifestation is described as Sat and Asat, and Chit and Achit. Matter is Achit, and the living force is Chit. But their origin is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in whom there is no difference between matter and spirit. According to this conception, the cosmic manifestation consisting of both matter and spirit is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Idam hi vishvam bhagavani vetara. This cosmic manifestation is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from Him. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, Mayam tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina machtani sarvabhutane nachaham teshvavashtita. By me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Thus, although someone may say that the Supreme Person is different from the cosmic manifestation, actually he is not. The Lord says, Mayam tatamidam sarvam. In my impersonal feature, I am spread throughout the world. Therefore, this world is not different from him. The difference is a difference in names. For example, whether we speak of gold earrings, gold bangles, gold necklaces, ultimately they are all gold. In a similar way, all different manifestations of matter and spirit are ultimately one in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ekam evadvityam brahma. This is the Vedic version. There is oneness because everything emanates from the Supreme Brahman. The example already given is that there is no difference between a golden earring and the gold mine as it is. The Vaisheshika philosophers, however, because of their Mayavadi conception, create differences. They say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, the absolute truth is real and the cosmic manifestation is false. But why should the Jagat be considered Mitya? The Jagat is an emanation from Brahman. Therefore, the Jagat is also truth. Vaishnavas, therefore, do not consider the Jagat to be Mitya. Rather, they regard everything as reality in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anasaktasya vishayan yatarhun upiyam jitaha nirbande krishna sambande yukta vairagya muchate papanchikitaya bhujya hari sambandhi vastunam mamukshubi parityago vairagyam phalgo kachyate. Things should be accepted for the Lord's service and not for one's personal sense gratification. If one accepts something without attachment and accepts it because it is related to Krishna, one's renunciation is called yukta vairagyam. Whatever is favorable for the rendering of service to the Lord should be accepted and should not be rejected as a material thing. The Jagat should not be rejected as mitya. It is truth, and the truth is realized when everything is engaged in the service of the Lord. A flower accepted for one's sense gratification is material, but when the same flower is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by a devotee, it is spiritual. Food taken and cooked for oneself is material, but food cooked for the Supreme Lord is spiritual, prasad. This is a question of realization. Actually, everything is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore everything is spiritual. But those who are not advanced in proper knowledge make distinctions because of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami says that although the sun is only light, the sunshine, which is exhibited in seven colors and darkness, which is the absence of sunshine, are not different from the sun. For without the existence of the sun, such differentiations cannot exist. There may be varied nomenclature because of different conditions, but they are all the sun. The Puranas therefore say, Ekadesha stitas yagnir jyotishna vistarini yata parasya brahmana shaptis tatairam akilam jagat. Just as the illumination of a fire, which is situated in one place, is spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahman, are spread all over this universe. Vishnu Purana 1.22.53. Materially, we can directly perceive the sunshine spreading itself according to different names and activities, but ultimately the sun is one. Similarly, Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. Everything is an expansion of the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is everything, and He is one without differentiation. There is no existence separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Aginati Madam Dasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gramayam Dadati Swaparantikam. So, Prabhupada, towards the end of this purport, is Sarvam Kalav Idam Brahma. Everything is an expansion of the Supreme Brahman. And Prabhupada's pointing out in the purport that there's a sense in which everything is Krishna. You know, everything is Krishna. The material energy is one of Krishna's energies. The jivas are part and parcel of Krishna. So in that sense, everything ultimately, it could be said, is Krishna. Yeah? Nothing's different from Krishna. But at the same time, there's a sense in which, and a very important sense in which everything, there is a difference between something is not completely identical with Krishna. It's stated in Vedanta Sutra. Krishna said, Eko Bahusham. Krishna's one, and he expands as he is expanded as the living entities. So, yeah, there is a sense in which everything is Krishna, but there's also a sense in which everything is not Krishna. And that sense is that the jivas are individual personalities. You know, there's different expansions of Krishna. You have the Vishnu Tattva expansion and Jiva Tattva and Vibhinamsa expansion. So the Vishnu Tattva expansions of Krishna are identical. You know, it's Krishna. It's Krishna's energy, but it's more than just the Vishnu Tattva expansions of Krishna. Krishna's energy, they are Krishna. You know, philosophically speaking, the Vishnu Tattva, Narayan, Vishnu, etc. That's Krishna. Okay, but the jivas, we're identical in this. You know, in certain ways. I mean, it's the same spiritual energy. You know, we're expanded from that same internal potency, but we're separate personalities. So there is a sense in which we are, you know, not exactly Krishna, right? And you notice I started to say Krishna expands as the living entities, and I corrected myself and I say Krishna is expanded. Notice, because I didn't want to even imply, I didn't even want to give the impression that there's a time which Krishna exists and then the jivas come. Uh-uh. It's not like that. Krishna says in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, how's it going? Natuevaham jatunasam natuam name ajanadipa nachayvana vivishama sarve vayamatakpanam. Never was there a time, speaking to Arjuna, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So, like, we're completely eternal. We're every bit as eternal as Krishna, right? The jivas, and there are innumerable jivas. You know, it's said someplace in the Vedic literature about the number of the jivas. Ashankya, you can't count them. You can't count how many jivas there. There's so many universes, and what to speak of the universes, even beyond all the material universes, which are almost innumerable. There's the entire spiritual world. There's unlimited jivas, okay? And we're all the jivas are every bit as eternal as Krishna, and that's significant. You know, it just goes to show you, it's a very important part of the product, of the package. You see, in other words, just to give an example, a very crude example, but, you know, say you buy, you get an iPhone, okay? And the iPhone comes with certain features. But then if you want, you could download an app. You know, you could download an app to help you find out where the nearest gas station is or something like where the cheap gas stations are. Or if you get a computer, you know, it comes with certain stuff, but then you could, there's other programs you could add on to it. So my point, the point I'm trying to make is the jivas, we're not an afterthought. You see, we're part of the original product there. You see, we're not an afterthought. We're not like some app you download afterwards or a program you add on to it. I mean, this is really an important thing. This is an important part of existence. There's Krishna and there's the jivas eternally, you know, just as eternal as Krishna. And what's going on is that there is a there's this relationship, you know, this the reciprocal loving relationship between Krishna and the jivas. And that's what life's all about. That's actually what life's all about. You see, Krishna reciprocating devotional loving relationships with the part and parcels. You see? And that's what's going on. In most of existence, that's what's going on. Okay? You know, sometimes we hear this, Prabhupada, in different lectures you hear, he uses this expression, ekapada bhuti, tripada bhuti. You see? This is the material, how's it called? The material universes are considered the ekapad, one part, and the spiritual world is tripad. Well, I'd like to suggest, and have a reason for it, which I'll state my reference here, but that's more like a geographical ratio. See, in other words, the material universes are like one part of the entire creation, and the spiritual universes are three part. That's geographical, but as far as demographics go, as far as population goes, it's more like, and I once again I'll support it, it's more like 10% to 90%. There's a conversation, it's actually videoed, and you can watch it as part of that series that Nishringananda brought out, you know, of that, or the, you know, different lectures and stuff of Prabhupada. And it's Prabhupada's talking with some social worker or somebody like that in Australia, and they're having a conversation. And at one point in the conversation, the man asked Prabhupada, so, you know, what percentage of the living entities are here in the material world? And Prabhupada said, 10%. And then he paused and he went, actually, no, less than 10%. And that's videoed. You know, you could watch that. You could hear it and you can see it. Prabhupada said that. So in other words, over 90% of the jivas are, right as we speak right now, are in the spiritual world with Krishna, engaging in some loving relationship in one of those rasas, santa, dasha, vatsalya, madhurya, neutrality. What's that? Neutrality is shanta, dasha, vatsalya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. One of those five rasas. Right as we speak now, over 90% of the jivas are in the spiritual world, you know, engaging in some reciprocal loving relationship with Krishna. And of course, as we know, you know, we all know the philosophy that in order for there to be a loving relationship, there has to be free will. So if some reason or another, some living entity isn't happy with that, they have an option. You know, there is an alternative. And that's this material world. Krishna makes an arrangement. Krishna doesn't want anybody, any of his, because, you know, we're all part of Krishna's, we're all like part of the same spiritual family. Sometimes I use this line on Sankirtan. You know, I show them the picture of the changing bodies or something like that and say, yeah, this picture is showing how, you know, we're more than just the body. We're actually eternal spiritual beings. Actually, we're all part of the same spiritual family. And then I ask them the question, I say, who do you think's the father? And they go, well, God. And I say, yeah. So we're all part of the same spiritual family, and Krishna's the father. And, you know, just like how it's supposed to be anyway in the material world, the parents are supposed to love the children. Supposed to, but of course that does. In reality, that does this. Krishna loves all his parts and parcel. Krishna loves all the jivas, and Krishna doesn't want any of the jivas to be unhappy. So if there's a particular jiva that isn't for some reason happy, you know, being there in the spiritual world and engaging in a reciprocal loving relationship with Krishna, then Krishna, he makes an arrangement. Krishna goes, okay, well, we'll make an arrangement for you to try to be happy. You can try to be happy in some other way. But, you know, really, You can't be happy in any other way. I already know that. You got to learn it for yourself. So I'm going to make an arrangement to give you an opportunity to try to be happy in some other way. But built into that arrangement is going to be, you know, what you need to learn so that you'll realize you can't be happy in any other way, and you're going to, you know, happily accept this arrangement that I have here in the spiritual world. So that's what that's what the material world is all about. This material world is just an arrangement by Krishna. It's an arrangement just to give us the opportunity, the jivas, who didn't want to be there with Krishna in the spiritual world anymore, to learn the lesson that we can't be happy. We can't be happy. Our real true happiness lies in being willingly participating in this reciprocal loving relationship with Krishna. That's where our real true happiness lies. And coming here to this material is an opportunity to learn that lesson. and sometimes learning a lesson might involve some suffering. You know, I'll read a little excerpt here from a lecture Prabhupada gave. So Prabhupada says, Prabhupada goes, pastimes. It is Krishna's pastime that he comes. He comes, of course. He's talking about that. But he works something. The work is to give protection to the sadhu and kill the asadhu. Both the activities are his pastimes. He's not envious. He cannot be envious. Now it's getting into the point. He cannot be envious. The killing of demons, that is also affection. Okay, so in other words, the point I'm going to try to make through reading this reference here is that Krishna does not act outside the principle of love. Everything Krishna does is within the principle of love. And it might not seem like it sometimes, but it is. And here's confirmation of it. So Prabhupada says, he cannot be envious. The killing of the demons, that is also affection. Somebody might think, well, how is that affection? How is somebody getting killed? And Prabhupada explains. He says, just like sometimes we punish our children, we give them a very strong slap. Okay? Prabhupada says, that is not out of love. There is love. So, I mean, you can understand because I read the two phrases together. When Prabhupada's saying that is not out of love, he's not meaning that, well, there's no love there. He's meaning that's not outside the principle of love. See, that is not out of love. It's not outside the principle of love. There is love. So when Krishna kills a demon, the business is not on the platform of material jealousy or envious. No. See, so Krishna is always acting out of love. He never acts outside the principle of love. So even here in the material world, even when, you know, jivas are here in the material world suffering like anything, it's actually another feature. It's another feature of Krishna's love. And even in the material world, that people would have this expression, tough love. You know, I've mentioned that in a previous class, and everybody's heard it. That's exactly what this material world is. It's tough love. It's Krishna just doing what he can. This is Krishna's practically his. He's got a lot of programs, okay, but this is one of his most important programs to try to get the jivas who have strayed from pure devotional service back to pure devotional service. You know, that's one of Krishna's main programs, to try to get jivas who have misused their free will and gone away from pure devotional service back. I'm going to read a purport from earlier in the same canto where Prabhupada says that. He goes, only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Budi Karunaya Namolalaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated. But although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. And it goes on. He does not become angry. It says, nonetheless, he does not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Budi Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this material, miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. So that's, you know, the program that Krishna is everything that we're experiencing here in the material world can be understood in that way. It's just Krishna, you know, trying to somehow or another, by a variety of different whatever methods, to try to bring us back to pure devotional service. And now that's, and so in this sense, you know, with that understanding, you know, then we can understand how God can be omniscient, omnipotent, and omnibenevolent, all loving. So without that understanding, without this philosophy, it's kind of it's hard to be anything but an atheist, really. I mean, I can understand how gross materialists can, you know, they're gross materialists, you know, they're generally atheists, and sometimes they even get irritated when you even try to mention to them that they could possibly be a God that's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving. And they just take what's going on in the world today as, you know, the strongest evidence to support that argument. Look what's going on in the world. You got to be kidding. You got to be crazy to even suggest that there's a God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving. You know, but no, when you have this philosophy, you know, this understanding of this bigger picture, you know, that we're souls and that we're part of this God's spiritual family, we're meant to be in the spiritual world and in this loving relationship. When you understand all that, then you can understand how, in this sense, in this way, you can understand how God can be all-loving. His all-loving is experienced or expressed in this, that he's always trying to bring the living entities back to pure devotional service. Everything that every living entity is experiencing within this material world is part of a big, big, big plan by Krishna to bring that living entity back to pure devotional service. Reel them back in. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to read... I was going to start the class by reading this, but because it was such a long purport, I kind of chickened out. And I figured I better talk a little bit first. But this is something very sweet, and this is an excerpt from a room conversation that took place in New York, April 11th, 1969. So Govinda Dasi asked this question. The prophet says, could you describe Krishna's pastimes as a cowboy whenever he goes out in the morning with the cowherd boys? Papa says, you have no experience here in your country. Have you got any experience? But in India, we have got experience how in the morning the cowboy takes some food from the mother, and with the cows he goes to the field. The cows are let loose on the grazing ground. They are enjoying. And this cowboy is sometimes singing the flute, Krishna's flute, because he is cowboy. The cowboys still play on that flute. In India, you'll find they are doing their own work, and what this boy will do, means the cows are doing their own work, they're grazing, and what this boy will do, they are playing. There are many cowboys, cowherd boys, they are playing, sometimes playing on flutes, sometimes sporting, sometimes eating. So Krishna was exactly doing like that. All the cowboy friends went with him. Krishna was, of course, a very rich man's son. His father was very rich. So he used to take with him very nice foodstuff, lugdu, kachuri, and other. His poor friends, they were taking chapatis, dried chapatis, Prabhupada laughs. So they were enjoying dividing your food, my food, his food. And sometimes there was some trouble in the forest because Kamsa was after Krishna to kill him. He was sending his assistants. So some asura would come, bakasura, agasura, and Krishna would kill. And the boys would return and narrate the story to their mother. Oh, my dear mother, such and such thing happened and Krishna killed it. The mother will, oh yes, our Krishna is very wonderful. Prabhupada's laughing as he's saying this. So then Prabhupada says, so Krishna was their enjoyment. That's all. The mother is speaking of Krishna. The boy is speaking of Krishna. So they do not know anything but Krishna. Krishna. Whenever there is some trouble, oh Krishna. When there is fire, oh Krishna. That is the beauty of Vrindavan. The mind is absorbed in Krishna, not through philosophy, not through understanding, but natural love. You see? So, once again, this is life. This is what life is. Sometimes you hear the expression that material life is a perverted reflection. The material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Okay? And, you know, whenever I would hear that, I think, well, yeah, I guess how is this a perverted reflection of, you know, what's in the spiritual world and or this or this. But I was thinking about it this morning, in a more important sense, I think it's with the way to, at least the way I'm understanding that statement now, or an additional way to understand that statement, is that the experience of material life is a perverted reflection of the experience of being in pure devotional service, the whole experience, you see? We just heard a description of the experience of pure devotional service. You know, to be totally, as it's Prabhupada said, the mind is absorbed in Krishna, not through philosophy, not through understanding, but natural love. That's pure devotional service. And what we're experiencing in material life, when you're in material life, is a perverted reflection of that consciousness. So, anyway, what time is it? 8:15? Okay, I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question?
Hare Krishna.
Arjuna. Yeah, I didn't even bother with that.
Bring your party for boom. We survived the speed reading and then we got the nectar. Thank you for a nice class. Yeah. Of all the points you made, I'm just going to pick out one that needs a little bit of polish, if you don't mind. And this is the point where you said that the living entity, due to unhappiness, leaves the spiritual world. That's not exactly factual. There is no unhappiness in the spiritual world. That's why the entire realm is called Vaikuntha, no misery at all. But just like here in the material world, we have always a leader, like there's President Obama. And someone made us wonder, what would it be like if I were president? The only difference is that here you can actually make a plan to become president. There you can't. Nobody can become God. So when you develop that desire, which is a natural curiosity, what would it be like to be Krishna rather than to serve Krishna? Then you have to come here and act it out. Because you can never become Krishna. But it's not fueled by unhappiness. It's just a natural desire that may occur.
Yeah.
Just like, what is the difference between a good citizen and a bad citizen? The good citizen may have some bad thoughts, but they don't act on it. You see? The thought may naturally arise. So in the spiritual world, the thought may naturally arise. What would it be like to be Krishna? And then you have to come here, because you cannot become Krishna in the spiritual world. It's not like here in the material world where you can become the leader by hook or crook or tricks or whatever, or votes, or you can become the leader. But you can't become God in the spiritual world. So the material world is created that we can all come here and try to be God, try to be the supreme leader, the supreme friend, like that. And that's why it's created. It's not that because somebody was unhappy there. There is no unhappiness there.
Yeah, well, okay. I was trying to avoid jiva bashing, but yeah, that's it. Unhappy, not that they're unhappy with pure devotional service. Unhappy that, as you said, they're thinking, well, why is Krishna, you know, the one who's getting all the attention, all this, all that. Just basically what you said is what I was thinking, but you're right, I should have made it a bit clearer. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks for such a nice class. I'm just not completely understanding of when you said that, like, we are Krishna, but then again we're not, because we have individuality. But I was convinced, well, like, I'm not understanding, because I am under the impression that we get our individuality from Krishna. So maybe if you can, like...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we get our individuality from Krishna. But once you get it, you got it. In other words, you're an individual. Like Prabhupada's using in the beginning of the purport, he gives this example of the gold in an earring or the gold of a necklace is the same as the gold in the mine. And, you know, yeah, it's true. Obviously, it's the same, but it's been just transformed a little bit. And I just wanted to try to make the point that, well, in our case, it's a little bit more, because, I mean, the spiritual energy that is the basis of our existence is the same as the spiritual energy that is Krishna, but, you know, we're individual. So we're a little bit more, we're more different from Krishna. I mean, we're exactly the same, I mean, same energy, but we're more different than, say, a gold earring is from the gold in the gold mine. You know, we're different. Krishna gives us a personality, and we have individuality, and we have free will like that. So, you know, I wanted to emphasize that there's a sense in which we're, as Prabhupada's saying, everything is Krishna, but there's also a sense in which everything is not exactly identical with Krishna. There's also that. Chincha, beta, tattva, simultaneously one and different. Anyway, I said it. We're one with Krishna, but at the same time, we have an individual personality. And that's by his arrangement. Does that make it clearer or more confusing?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Panavata.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. I may be treading on some thin ice here, but I'm going to bring it up. And I know it's practically, materially speaking, an impossible thing to understand exactly how we fell from the spiritual world. My question is that the desire to want to become Krishna, is that a material desire?
Well, I mean, it's a material desire. Archita said something that kind of, he said, you know, just like here in the material world, you might have a desire, but you don't act on it. And it's, you know, maybe like, I guess it depends, you know, to what, how seriously you're thinking about it. I mean, if you're in the spiritual world and just thinking, I wonder what it would be like to be Krishna. I don't think the next second, you know, the hook comes and... But, you know, it's kind of like if you're really getting into it, if you really, once you start seriously thinking, well, you know, I would really like to be Krishna. I wonder if I'd like to be Krishna. I really want to be Krishna. You know, like, I mean, it's like when you become committed to it, you know, when you it's like this, it's one thing to have a desire. Just like here, even here in the material world, okay? You might see a beautiful woman, or a woman might see a beautiful man. You might think, wow, that person's attractive. But then that's it. Then the next second you just, you know, go back and you get back into what you're supposed to be doing. But, you know, if you kind of like allow yourself to get absorbed in that and you really, you know, start like, wow, yeah, that was really a beautiful, I really would like to get to, in some way I could meet that person or whatever, you know, then you're falling into Maya, you see. But if you just, you know, if it just comes and goes, then it's no big deal. It's the same thing with that. It's how much you become emotionally and intellectually invested in the whole thing, you see. So if it's just, you know, a fleeting thought, it's no big deal. But if it's something you're really kind of, you know, taking shelter of, getting absorbed in, taking shelter of, committing to, then that's then you got a serious problem there. Maybe something like that. I don't know. Archita wants to.
There are no material desires in the spiritual world. Material means under the modes of material nature. Daivyesha gunamai. There are no material...
So what is it?
Like, there are no material impediments or dangers in the spiritual world. There's nothing material there.
Yeah, okay. But,
because we are living entities, we have desires. So those are not material. The point is that certain desires, like this desire to experience things from Krishna's position, you can't fulfill in the spiritual world. Therefore, the material world is created. To give you a chance to fulfill. It's Krishna's kindness.
It's not a material desire. Okay.
It's not a material desire. There's no material
desire.
There's no Maya in the spiritual world going, pss, pss, pss. Hey. It's not like here. Here, Maya's business is to trap you, to entice you. That's her business here, to test you. There's nothing like that going on there. There's no material anything in the spiritual world. But because we're spiritual beings, we naturally have desires. And if you get that desire to try to experience Krishna's position, then you can only try that here. You can't try it there because you can never become Krishna. So Krishna creates this illusory world where you can act it out. But there's no material motivation, there's no material impediment, there's no material seduction in the spiritual world. There's nothing material there. Material means, by definition, divyesha, under the modes of nature, under the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. The spiritual world is beyond that. Beyond the three gunas, there are no gunas there.
Considering the consequences of that desire, when we're in the spiritual world, do we have knowledge that, you know, that this desire is not going to really be a good desire to pursue?
That I can't answer.
Aha. Okay, I agree. It's not a material desire, but it's not a good desire. And you know, it's anyway, something we've got to talk about more. Yeah. Anybody else have any... Madhaji, yeah.
Isn't that desire a form of envy?
Yeah. It would be. If you're thinking, what would it be like to be Krishna? Once again, I guess it's, I mean, I don't know. I'm not qualified to really talk about this. It's beyond the scope of my brain. But, you know, as I said, if you're assuming that thinking in the spiritual world is anything like thinking here in the material world, if you just consider it, well, I wonder what it would be like to be Krishna. I wouldn't call that envy. If you just kind of out of curiosity are thinking like that. But when you start thinking like, you know, if a jiva is thinking, I wonder what it would be like to be Krishna. Yeah, I would really like to be Krishna. And then you, and simultaneously you know that actually, you can't be Krishna. I mean, it's not, that's how, that's violating our constitutional position, but I still really would like to be Krishna. Then that's envy. You know, you understand your position, you understand Krishna's position, you understand the consequences of desiring to be out of your position and be in Krishna's position, and still you want to do it, then that would be envy. And then what Archie just said, then Krishna doesn't want to, you know, he fulfills that desire and gives you an opportunity to try to do something about it. Anyway, anybody want to have one last thing to wrap it up? No? Okay. All right. Grantor Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I'll get you, Vanavata. That's okay. That's a good question. Yeah, it's not material, but maybe it's not material because he said there's no material modes in the spiritual world, but it ain't a good desire.
Yeah, I mean, where does that desire spring from? You know what I mean? Does it spring from, you know, all living energies in the spiritual world or engaged in a constant position of loving exchanges with Krishna?
So, yeah.
You know, logically, and that's why we can't really understand it exactly logically, because logically we think that well, then, you know, if we have a certain rasa with Krishna, and
yeah,
that rasa is to be enjoyed by Krishna in a certain relationship, if we're starting to think we want to become Krishna, that's outside of the realm of rasa in the spiritual world.
Yes, I agree
so,
with that.
So therefore, now here's kind of how, you know, the imagination kind of came from my imagination, kind of takes it. Well, somehow or other, you know, maybe it's Krishna's desire that we experience that. We come down to the material world so we can fight demons, and also so that once we do come down and experience that, then we'll go back and never come back again. I mean,
well, we could be demons, though. You said fight demons, but we could be demons. That's kind of tricky. I'd have to think about it.
No, I'm saying, so Krishna could come down and fight
demons. Oh, I see. I'd have to think about it. I mean, this is the kind of thing you've got to think about. But
I think it probably says, you know, somehow or other, they never really went into any specific.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I don't want to comment on the psychological dynamics involved in a jiva leaving the spiritual world without, I mean, I haven't thought about it carefully. So, you know. We never. Yeah, we're in like a dream. You know, there's that lecture he gave in Japan in 1972 about the fall of the, it was in that book, Quest for Enlightenment, The Fall of the Jiva. And it talks about how we're not really, we never fell. We're